Oh, yes. Nice to meet you. Oh. Everyone, let me ask you a quiz. Dot. What is Isa's name? If you guess correctly, I'll give you a gift. No. Oh.
Come out. Come out. I'll give you a gift.
Oh. Hey, thank you. Oh, that's
amazing. Yes. Hey, his name is the albatross. By the way, this bird is the highest and farthest flying bird in the world. So, they say that in just 1 or 2 months, it can fly around the world. By the way, this bird has a nickname. Its nickname is the storm bird. The reason it's called the storm bird is because, while other birds run away when a storm comes, this bird knows how to face a storm firsthand. That's because, unlike other birds fly by flapping their wings, this bird mainly relies on the wind to fly. That's why, other birds can fly farther and higher than other birds. I hope we too, in the Lord, live lives that soar highest and furthest, relying not on our own strength but on God's power. Today, as Brother Lee Yun-jo mentioned, this is my last sermon for students. So, first, I'll share a message for students who haven't yet believed in the Lord or Jesus. Then, I'll share a message for students who do. This isn't a product. Do you like cup ramen? What's the first thing you do to eat cup ramen? Open it. Yes. Oh, the lid. Yes, open it. Right? Then you can pour water in. This lid, this cup lid, is our heart. And this hot water, can be called Jesus. Dot. Just as we can't pour water into this ramen without opening the lid, we have to open our hearts so that Jesus can enter our hearts. Dot. Right? And now I've opened the lid. So now we need to pour water. But, teacher, let's imagine you poured cola instead of water. By mistake. What do we do then? Is this distance? We have to drink this. What do? We pour out all the cola first, then add the hot water. It's the same. In our hearts, this cola represents my thoughts. Our thoughts. This hot water represents the Lord. Just like pouring out all the cola first and then pouring the hot water, we must first empty all our thoughts so that Jesus can enter. Casting away our thoughts is extremely important. This is the preparation we must make to receive the Lord. God wants everyone to be saved. That's why he called his servants and is still spreading the gospel. One day, Paul and Sylla were arrested while preaching the gospel, were beaten, and imprisoned in Philippi. Oh, in the middle of the night, Paul and Sylla were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other disciples were listening. Suddenly, a great earthquake occurred, and the foundations of the prison shook, and all the prison doors flew open, and all the handcuffs fell off. Oh, the jailer woke up and saw all the prison doors open, thinking that all the disciples had fled, so he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Stop! We're all still here." The jailer, trembling with fear, asked Paul and Silla, "What must I do to be saved?" Question mark quote. Paul and Silla answered, Acts chapter 16 verse 31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Dot. And the jailer and his entire household, having heard the word of the Lord, believed and were baptized that night. How were the Philippian jailer and his entire family saved? Do you have Acts chapter 16 verse 31? Let's take it out and look it up. Acts chapter 16 verse 31, quote,
"Believe in this Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." Quote,
"Yes, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." Now, look carefully at these verses. Pay close attention. He didn't say that believing in Jesus will save you. What did he say? Look at the verses. What did he say? He said that believing in the Lord Jesus will save you. This is very important. In other words, even if we believe in all the knowledge about Jesus and the miracles he performed, if we don't believe in Jesus as our Lord, and our God, we cannot be saved. Therefore, heaven is for those who have Jesus in their hearts. Dot. Hell is for those who don't have Jesus in their hearts. What do you think is the most precious thing in the world? Great.
Salvation.
Salvation. Oh, no. Oh, I think Sehion knows this. What is it? Life. Life. Yes. It's life. Yes, it's life. Because when life comes, you lose everything. You can't do anything. But who is this life? Who is the source of life, the true life? John chapter 14 verse 6. Okay. Please find John chapter 14 and read it to me.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. So who is this life? It's Jesus. Jesus is our life. Just as when we have life, we have everything. When we have Jesus, we have everything. In God's eyes, those who have Jesus in their hearts are truly alive. Those who have lost Jesus in their hearts are dead in God's eyes. If a branch is not connected to the tree, it is a dead branch. It's not a living branch. Likewise, if we are not connected to Jesus, we are spiritually dead. The same goes for our life of faith. It's the same in our faith. If we lose Jesus, who is the way, our truth, and our life, we lose everything. Therefore, the most important thing in our life of faith is not to lose the Lord. It is to always be with the Lord. It is to be united with the Lord. It is to love the Lord, to love only the Lord, and not to live apart from the Lord. No matter how many good deeds, service, and Bible studies we do for the Lord, if we live a life of faith that has lost the Lord, that life is truly tragic, painful, and tragic. I think it is Jesus. Jesus is the most precious and valuable being, like life itself to us. Psalm chapter 23 verse 1. Psalm chapter 23 verse 1. Teacher, I will speak with that new translation of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David lived a contented life. He confessed that he lacked nothing. How can you live contentedly in this world? Can you say you lack nothing? The secret is this, because the Lord is my shepherd. David was a man satisfied with the Lord. For 10 long years before he became king, David lived under constant threats of assassination from King Saul, and a life of instability. Force 2. Leave his family, his home, and his hometown, he lived as a fugitive, wandering the country and its valleys. Naturally, David had no stable life, no happy marriage, no happy family. Nevertheless, David confesses, I am satisfied with the Lord. I lack nothing. Because the Lord is with me, I lack nothing. Quote. My friends, the secret to a contented life is being satisfied with the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is our everything, our life. The Lord is our every need. What an amazing testimony this is. Can we, who now enjoy even more than David, confess like David? The Lord is my shepherd. Here, the word shepherd in Hebrew means both a shepherd and a ruler. It's a word that carries two meanings simultaneously. The Lord is my possessor. The Lord is my ruler. The Lord is my sovereign. Quote. Everyone, sovereign, absolute sovereign. God is absolute sovereign. This means that nothing happens without the Lord's permission. There is no coincidence in this world. Therefore, even this life of suffering I am experiencing now is permitted by the Lord, my shepherd. And everything, life and death, blessing and sorrow, depends on the Lord. For 10 years, my enemies have been trying to kill me, to take my life, but without the Lord's permission, I cannot betray even a single hair of myself. David had this faith. That's why, at the very moment when we might say he was most unfortunate and most sorrowful, David testified, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing." Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside reliable waters. Dear friends, if there are three things a sheep needs most, they are grass for food, water for drinking, and a healthy. Heart. And rest. Similarly, David is satisfied with the Lord, who gives him the things he needs: grass, water, food, and strength. Also, in another passage of Scripture, it says, "You shall have food to eat and clothing to wear." So be content with this. Why is this? Because the Lord is our shepherd and sovereign. Verse 3. He gives me new strength and leads me on the right path for his name's sake. The Lord gives us the strength to live each day. This is through sleep. When you sleep and wake up, you are renewed. The Lord gives us new strength every day through sleep. Likewise, to David, who was weary from 10 years of flight, the Lord renewed his strength, gave him hope, and let him know that he is with him. He faithfully protected David, instructing and guiding him. The Lord is likewise guiding us, not only David, but each and every one of us. He provides for us, guides us, and leads us. And for the sake of his good name, he will lead us to the end. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing, for you are with me, your staff and your neck protect me. The Korean Bible doesn't say, I will fear nothing, but it does in the New Testament. The Lord's staff and your neck protect me. What does this mean? They are tools to protect sheep from wild beasts. When the sheep keep trying to go the wrong way, this man strikes them with a staff, telling them to go another way. When David was threatened, he might have thought, "Why do I have to go this way? I don't want to go any other way, right?" We have the same nature, and so God allowed David to go through these hardships with his rod so that he could realize it again and walk the Lord's path, the path of righteousness, the path of faith. The same goes for us. Lord, when we don't live according to your will in our lives and turn away from you, God brings us into an environment that suits us and allows us to face hardships so that we can look to you again and follow your word. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You pour out your blessings upon me as an honored guest, my cup overflows. Yes. Three people. Oh, only kings, prophets, and priests could be anointed with oil. Dot. Oh, very, oh, the Lord, oh, for David, who endured all the suffering he permitted and triumphed, oh, he poured out this feast, oh, he opened this feast, and he anointed. David, oh, not a king, but a king again, and he established him as the main character of the feast. Verse 6, oh, truly, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I have come into the house of the Lord, and will dwell there forever. David knew the goodness of the Lord. Ah, all the works of the Lord are good. All the plans of the Lord are good and righteous. Nothing the Lord does is against him. And oh, David also knew the kindness of the Lord. The word kindness here, oh, hes, speaks of God's endless love. It's the same word as agape in the New Testament. David. Confesses that the Lord's endless love will follow him all the days of his life. The Lord's love is an endless love for you. The Lord will love us with an unchanging love that will last forever and ever. David testifies that after his life on this earth ends, he will be resurrected and enter the Lord's house, heaven, where he will live forever. Okay, I'll finish. Now, David, satisfied with the Lord's love, lived a life of contentment, lacking nothing or lacking anything. May we also be satisfied with the Lord's love throughout our lives and live happy lives. Done.